It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Live from Everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, here we go. Coming to you live from the greatest country in the world, broadcasting from the tippy top of the world-famous Fox News headquarters in New York City, a big Thursday episode of Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla, a man who's not getting ready to do a $25 million fundraiser at Radio City. Right across the street from where I work, your President Joe Biden getting ready to take the stage tonight with Barack Obama and Bill Clinton in what is expected to be a $25 million event. Although we don't know specifically because Bill Clinton is asking to get paid in singles.
I believe that together we can make America great again.
So silly, but we're going to try to keep the mood light because it is a chippy hour of subject matter we're about to get into. 888-788-9910 if you want to be a part of the show. It is also the phone number if you do not want to be a part of the show.
You're just another dirtbag.
We get those from time to time, but regardless, you are welcome in any capacity. You could be a Republican, you could be a Democrat, you could be a Libertarian, you could be an Independent. The only thing we ever ask, we ask it every day. It's the only thing we ask, though. This is a pretty, like, low-demand show. You know what I'm saying? We're not that teacher that gives you homework on a Friday. No, man. Uh-uh. If maybe we show you a movie on a Friday, pass out some ice cream. We're the good teacher. Exactly. But on a day like today, as always, be a Republican, be a Democrat. Just don't be a... There it is. Happy Friday. I apologize for my absence yesterday. I was working on a top secret project that you will be seeing here on the Fox News Channel soon. We had to shoot a lot of craziness and get ready for tomorrow night's show in Helena, Montana. Oh, my goodness. And it's going to be a wild one. Helena, Montana at the Helena Civic Center is tomorrow night. Saturday, we head further west to Spokane, Washington. We will be at the Fox Theater Saturday night. So if you're in the hood, come hang out with your radio buddy. And right now, buckle up because we got to get into it. There's a contrast playing out in real time as we get on the air today. Right now, it's a heartbreaking story, but out in Massapequa Park, Long Island, is where I'm from, a couple towns over from where I grew up in Levittown, Donald Trump is preparing to attend the wake of NYPD officer Jonathan Diller. He was 31 years old. He had a one-year-old child, but he was tragically shot and killed earlier this week by a man who had 21 prior arrests, including 9 felonies. So you understand, this is a guy who has no business at all being on the streets.
That's true. That is true.
Let me give this to you again, because I don't want anyone to think or conflate this with politics. This is just about right and wrong. This is about sense. You know, this is just sense, common sense, whatever you want to bill it as. Just understand what I'm saying to you. Okay, under the current laws in this country, under the current woke bail reforms, with the advocates we have in New York City and the far left progressive DAs, men like this who have 21 arrests and 9 felonies now walk the streets in society.
What the hell is the world coming to?
A terrible, heartbreaking end if this becomes the norm. And sadly, this is the norm in a lot of places around the country. Out in Illinois, we had a little kid get killed yesterday because he was trying to protect his mom from another violent felon with 24 prior arrests, the woman had an order of protection against this man, the father. Guy gets out on bail. First thing he does is go to the house to kill the woman. Little kid jumps in the way to defend his mom and gets killed. Okay, that's the America we're living in. Even their governor, J.B. Pritzker, admitted, well, I don't know that this case was properly scrutinized and maybe under the way we look.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
These are people who shouldn't be out on the street. They have no right to be out on the street in polite society. And the reason they are is because we, in the summer of 2020, in an effort to win an election, created a false narrative that police were a bigger threat to the communities than the criminals that they swore to protect us against. And we didn't give them the benefit of the doubt on anything. Okay, we never factored in the reality of anything other than race when it came to a police interaction that we didn't like the end of. But the reality is, when you go look at crime through the lens of equality, and you say, well, the prison has too many of these people or not enough those people, that's not how crime works, okay? Crime is not racial, it's criminal, okay? And 90% of violent crimes are committed against members of the same race. So if you let out a member of a particular race because you think they're overrepresented in prison, okay, when they get out and commit another violent crime, it's going to be a member of that same race 90% of the time. Meaning, in the overall scheme of things, by looking at crime and punishment through the lens of anything other than crime and punishment, you're screwing over the people who follow the law in the name of helping out the people who break it. You can tell me it's tolerant. You can tell me it's empathy. Okay? But none of that is actually empathetic towards the people who follow the law who are now dead. Or in the case of Jonathan Diller, a 31-year-old cop with a 1-year-old kid. Kid will grow up without knowing the dad. That's reality. And it really, like, it does. It breaks your heart, man. Like, if you think about, like, little stupid things. I do a lot of things with Lincoln right now that I did when he was one. Like, goofy, stupid games. You know, he likes to prank you and pick on you and have fun. And it's great. He's the Link, man. He's amazing. But you understand, for this guy, that got cut off at age one. They didn't do it at age 2 or 5 or 7 or 10 or 12. Because some dirtbag who should be dying in a jail cell was out to get into a fight with a cop and shoot him in the stomach. Okay, and the guy was so intent on committing violence that night, police after the fact were able to identify that he had a shiv stored fully inside his rectum.
What the hell did you just say?
This is a guy who got out of jail, put a shiv up his butt, and then went out on the town looking for trouble. Okay, that's a real thing, and killed a cop, and the cop is dead. So right now, as I speak to you out on Long Island, Donald Trump is attending that cop's wake to show solidarity with the men and women in uniform. And before you tell me this was a, you know, political opportunism, he was invited by the family. Okay, the police union is disinviting local politicians like Mayor Eric Adams, like the city advocate. They don't want the people there who have slandered the cops at every turn, who have empowered the criminals, but then want to show up and look like they're on the right side of this thing when something goes wrong for the cops. They're flat out telling them not to come. If they come, they'll likely be booed. And I'll find no fault in any of it. You want to be classy. You want to take the high road. But the point is, the stupid people are getting us killed. They're either getting us killed or they're over at Radio City tonight donating to Joe Biden and Barack Obama and Bill Clinton. So that's what they're doing tonight at Radio City. Stephen Colbert is moderating a $100,000 a ticket fundraiser. $100,000. Okay, because, you know, the Democrats, they're the party of the little guy, is what they're, is what, yeah, you know, we're here for the little fella.
Come on, don't bullshit me.
$100,000. And you'll get a photo with Clinton, Obama, and Joe Biden at the end of it. 5,000 people are expected to attend. They're making a gazillion dollars. But that's what he's in New York to do. Not here to talk about the cop. In fact, yesterday at the White House, they were asked about the optics of this. They were asked about the cop. And they couldn't even say the name. Okay, they read from a prepared statement. And when they were asked about it, KJP wouldn't even speak to the situation. Here it is, clip 8.
As it relates to the death of the officer. Look, our hearts go out to this officer who tragically lost his life in the line of duty. We're also praying for his family during this difficult time, who now has an empty seat at their dinner table. President Biden is deeply grateful for the sacrifices police officers make to keep our community safe. This shooting is yet another painful reminder of the toll of gun violence, that what it's doing to inflict on families and our communities and our nation. And that's why the president signed more than 2 dozen executive actions.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Seriously, because she's just reading you boilerplate talking points. When she talks to you about, well, this is just a reminder about the toll of gun violence. Guys, are you ready for this? As a violent felon, he's already not legally allowed to own a gun. Meaning using this as an opportunity to remind us of the need for more gun, legislation. You know, let's put more restrictions on the people who follow the law. this guy who broke the law in killing somebody, he should be, the end result of which should be you losing more of your freedoms. That's what they're trying to sell in this moment. But she can't even say the officer's name. I don't know that they know the officer's name, because the truth is they don't care. Okay, here is Pat Ryder, okay, NYPD officer. He is the commissioner at in Nassau County, where I'm from on Long Island. Let me get that right. And he is talking to Fox and Friends about the criminal record this guy has. Clip six.
Both of those perps should have been in jail. They both spent one spent 12 years in the system. While in the system, they assaulted a correction officer. They don't deserve to walk the streets out there in New York City, Long Island, anywhere in this country. It's a bigger picture because it's bail reform. It's letting the prisoners out. The revolving door of the 80s has come back. We've lost support for the men and women of law enforcement, and we lost support when it comes to the tools that used to be in the toolbox. They're no longer there for us.
So you understand, he's telling you the truth. We've made the game harder for the good guys than we have for the bad guys. You could hate every Donald Trump tweet. You know, Stormy Daniels might not be your favorite porn star. Maybe you're into the brunettes. I don't know. You know.
I love it when you talk dirty.
Okay, the point is, for all of the misgivings you might have with Donald Trump's character, okay, if the choice is between him and Biden, okay, what you're truly choosing between, okay, are people who support the cops and people who don't. Republicans did not pass any of these woke bail reforms. Okay, they didn't back these Soros prosecutors. Okay, nor did they decide not to mention the cop by name when he was shot by a perp who had 24 prior arrests. Okay, there's no reach out from the White House to this kid. Okay, there's no consideration, because in their worldview, the cops are the bad guys most of the time. On the rare chance the cops are good guys, hey, that's your job. You're just doing it. Shut up. You don't deserve any credit. You know, if you're a cop out there in the world, you're doing the most important necessary job in society. Okay, you're doing the one job that makes everybody else's job possible. None of us can do our jobs. None of us can go to work if we don't have law and order, something in a lot of ways we seem to be losing because there's no respect for it anymore. Okay, you think about, you know, somebody like George Floyd. Okay, should George Floyd be dead? No. Did they teach that restraining mechanism in the Minneapolis Police Department? Yes. Okay, that being said, the guy's handcuffed. He's on the ground. Okay, he doesn't need to be knelt on for 8 minutes. He's handcuffed. He's on the ground. So you can talk to me about techniques. You can talk to me about everything else, but you can't tell me you should be kneeling on the guy's neck. That being said, okay, Derek Chauvin is one of a few million cops in this country. And the idea that all of them were supposed to lose the benefit of the doubt or the respect or the support that they should be, you know, entitled to every single day they're willing to put on that uniform and take that risk. I tell you, it's going to age so poorly for this country. It's going to be something so many people will have to be ashamed of. Because don't forget, it wasn't enough to call them names. We wanted, not we, but Democrats wanted to get rid of them.
Yes, I support the defund movement because this is about the investment in our communities, which have historically been divested.
Not only do we need to defund, but we need to dismantle and start anew.
Why use the word defund? Why use the word defund? And it's like, this is the word that's coming from the streets.
Defund the police does not mean abolish the police. It means a dramatic reduction in the number of police in our poor communities.
I am for defunding the police.
Look, the reality is we can't rely upon the police to provide public safety.
It's a moment to reimagine policing, to take things off the shoulders. And
what we also want is a reconception of how we achieve public safety.
How do we take out many of the responsibilities that police officers are now dealing with by investing more into housing, into education, into these other things?
You know, in many cities in America, over one third of their city budget goes to police. So we have to have this conversation. What are we doing?
Kamala's awful with her weird laugh. Ha ha!
Just a garbage human being. What are we doing? I mean, really, when you think about cops and how they just so took them for granted, how even in this moment, this should be like a day of national unity. A cop gets killed. A guy with a one-year-old kid. You know, this is supposed to be one of those days where, you know, any society with a compass realizes we're supposed to take a TO. And we're supposed to be like, holy hell, this sucks. How can we help the family? And thankfully, a lot of people have stepped up and have helped the family and donated money, and hopefully people continue to do so. But the best way you could help this family is by helping future families, is by recognizing once and for all that there's a difference, okay, between the people killing people and the people protecting us from those idiots, okay? And the politicians who are out making $25 million tonight and then telling you tomorrow they're a man of the little guy, you know, should just go screw. But that's what you're really staring down the barrel of in this election when you look at the issues facing the country. The border's wide open. That leads to crime. We have a record level of fentanyl poisoning deaths. Cop killings are out of control. Okay, that's bad. Cops protect you. These are both net negatives for you and your family. Okay, and when you look at life through that lens, the most primal needs we have are safety. They are the most primal need you have. And the reality is, it couldn't be more stark in terms of the choice facing us on a day like today. They're 20 miles apart right now, 20 miles apart, Trump and Biden. One guy's hanging out with Stephen Colbert making $25 million. The other guy is hanging out with a grieving cop's family. OK, you tell me who has your best interest in mind. But I think I've just told you.
And I'm out here in the real world and I know what's right or wrong or bullshit.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Fallon.
Guys, are you the same guy that you were 10 years ago? Everybody's been there. You wake up one morning, you feel like you're getting old, man. Stuff hurts. What do I do? One idea is to use the powerful testosterone booster in Nugenix Total T because it will revive your energy. It'll power up the workouts. Might even put the old fire back in the bedroom. Hey, girl, your old self is back. You'll feel amazing on this stuff. So tap the brakes on the aging process because every day that passes is a day you lose testosterone. That means less muscle, means less energy, and it does mean less get up and go in the bedroom. And are you really ready to lose all of it? The shape, the muscle, the energy. Are you ready to get old? Okay, you don't have to. You can slow it down with Nugenix Total T. It boosts free and total testosterone. It helps you get the old fire back at work, in the gym, and in the bedroom. Nugenix Total T Testosterone Booster with Tesner. It'll help you turn back the clock and re-energize your life and prove it to yourself. Try Nugenix Total T before you buy. There is nothing to lose. Get a complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T when you text 231-231 and enter the keyword Jimmy. Text now and get a bottle of Nugenix Thermo X, the newest and most powerful fat incinerator ever with key ingredients to help you lose fat and get lean fast. It is absolutely free. Your complimentary bottle awaits. Text 231-231 and enter keyword Jimmy. Text 231-231 and enter the keyword Jimmy.
Texting enrolls you into recurring automated text messages. Consent not required. Required to purchase. Message and data rates apply. Number one doctor recommended brand by primary care physicians based on an independent survey conducted by IQVIA 2022.
It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Fallon. Fired up today, man. It's a heavy day. They are laying a cop to rest out on Long Island. 31-year-old cop Jonathan Diller hit a one-year-old kid. It breaks your heart. Killed by a man. With 21 prior arrests, including 9 felonies, let him out anyway.
It's people with a dirty mind that think like that.
Really is. So Trump is out at the wake. If any details emerge, we will share them. I don't know if he's expected to speak. They haven't told us anything. Obviously, just trying to give them our consideration. And then across the street, where I am broadcasting from right now, is Radio City Music Hall. You know, Fox News and Radio City across the street from each other. We actually have MSNBC's right across the street, and obviously CNN as well.
CNN is the worst.
Are they ever? But in this moment, they're getting ready. They've shut down all of our streets. The barriers are up. Extra cops are out on detail today protecting 3 presidents who will be at Radio City this evening for a $25 million fundraiser. So it's a mess. The city's a mess. It's a rainy disaster. Not that any of you care. You're the smart people who don't live in this city. You guys. Woo! The folks who are in what are described as the flyover states are geniuses. Okay? You guys nailed it. You have space. You don't have all of this lunacy that I deal with every day. You're not surrounded at every turn by some type of a woke bail reform.
Everything woke turns to
No, you guys got a good racket. That's why I'm excited to get on the road tomorrow. I got to get the hell out of here. But today on the show, Kennedy is coming by. Andy Biggs is coming by. We're going to have a good grown-up talk. Diamond Dave Landau may be here. He is on a flight into New York because he is spending Saturday night with me on Fox News Saturday night. But we need his plane to take off, land, and get him here, which is no small task because we have four presidents in the tri-state area right now. In New York, between Trump and Biden and Obama and Clinton, we got a lot going on. And then we have one chick that keeps telling people she was president, which is another mess.
I'm Hillary Clinton, and I approve this message.
Making it worse. We have four presidents and one woman who still hasn't accepted the results of her presidential election.
This is not okay.
Oh, it's a mess, but we're going to get into it. We'll pick up the mood. We'll get into your calls, text, tweets, and carrier pigeons after this.
Reality with a bit of insanity. It's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, man. Here we go. Back in action. Big hour of Fox Across America with your radio buddy. Trying to hold this country together. There's so much going on. There's a new Fox News poll out. It's a national survey is what it actually is. And I wanted to read you this just to give you a kind of a gauge as to where we are and what people are thinking as we embark on this seven-month journey. Seven-month journey towards Election Day. My goodness gracious. It's a lot, man. It's a lot. Now, RFK got in. He announced a running mate, Nicole Shanahan. There's a lot of outrage towards RFK right now. Trump is calling him a radical leftist. The liberals are actually calling him Trump. I mean, he's obviously neither of the two. But the point is, people are really exhausted with the way we're distilling politics in this day and age. I'm always trying to give you like a little bit of a port in the storm. And I will tell you, man, the polling today shows that you need one. According to the Fox News National Survey out today, just 22% of Americans, 22% of Americans say they're better off now than they were 4 years ago.
Biden sucks.
22%. You know who's better? For real. I'll tell you who's better. Okay, if you came into this country illegally, you're better. If you are a human trafficker at the border, you're better. If you run a drug cartel, you're better. And if you're, you know, an elitist, if you're wealthy, okay, you are better. Okay, because Biden Democratic policies are always great for the wealthy. Okay, think of something like student loan forgiveness. That is pitched to you as what? Hand out to the little guy.
That is a fact check false.
Okay, the little guy's taxes pay for loans that they themselves did not take out.
That's not right.
But again, is that fair to the little guy? But then some of you say, but surely, you know, the little guy's getting some of the breaks here on this student loan forgiveness thing. Okay, the people getting their degrees forgiven, and they're not getting forgiven. The debt is not getting forgiven. It's simply being passed along to the taxpayer. So you understand why that's such a dopey policy. And it's sold in the name of fairness and empathy and everything else. But understand, it drives up the cost of tuition even higher. Why? Because it doesn't confront the cause of student debt, which is the soaring cost of tuition.
Ah, you have a good eye, my man.
So if you just say to the colleges, all right, well, you're going to charge whatever the hell you want, and a lot of these kids can't get jobs and they're not going to be able to pay for it. But if it gets out of hand, we'll step in and pick up the tab. What that says to the actual colleges is not lower your prices. What that says to the colleges is charge whatever the hell you want. Well, we're moving on now. You know what I'm saying? And that's what you're dealing with in this moment. Okay, so student loan forgiveness, the loans aren't forgiven. The school doesn't go, forget about it. We don't want the money. No. They simply send the bill to the taxpayer. That's what they do. The taxpayer gets the bill for a loan they didn't take out.
Thanks, big government weenuses.
But when you break this down across income brackets, the people in the top 13% of income earners are the ones who hold these debts. So you understand? It's in a lot of cases, I don't doubt there are some people struggling to pay. I get it. I'm aware. I know a lot of people in this day and age, it's more popular than ever to have a degree that you're not using in your line of work. But understand, the people getting the bill and having it waived are not necessarily the people who need it the most. On an individual basis, I don't doubt that's the case. But when you look across the broad spectrum of who got the degrees and what they make, the people with the degrees earn more money. That is a reality. You earn more money in respective fields than you do in a lot of non-degree fields. That's been the reality for a long time. But what's happening now is people are starting to wake up to the reality that you may even earn more money in a particular job market. But now what they're doing is they're creating degrees that don't have commensurate job markets. Like, people aren't, you know, as trendy as it was the last 2 years to add all of these, you know, diversity, equity, and inclusion policies and everything in between. People, by and large, aren't seeing massive gains in job growth in that sector, if only because a lot of companies are starting to get away from it because they realize it's prioritizing division, okay, over what actually makes companies successful. Okay, like if you're Disney, Disney would be the best example of this. Disney makes money off of parents who pay exorbitant fees to bring their kids to Disney World. Okay, at no point did any parent, okay, going to that park want to get into a fight about gender equity or pretending that Ron DeSantis banned gay people. But Disney decided to pick that fight anyway.
So I guess we have some issues.
Big issues, because parents stopped going and it crushed their bottom line. Disney was in the business of entertainment. Okay, nobody, when Disney starts giving a lecture about inclusion, wants a lecture about inclusion from a park that charges $150 to get in. That's the most exclusionary thing you can do, because the prices are keeping a lot more people out of the park than the pronouns.
He's a lousy dad, but he's right.
Okay, but that's what happened. Okay, and they went out and tried to rework the park. You know what I'm saying? So now you got, you know, Peter Pansexual and Snow White and the 7 Inches. You know, and parents are like, wait, we didn't really sign up for this. We didn't, you know, pay $150 to get in to be told Ron DeSantis is the devil. And never mind that Ron DeSantis passed a parental rights and education bill that the Democrats fraudulently decried as a don't say gay bill. It doesn't ban gay anywhere in the state of Florida. And anybody who tells you otherwise has never been to Key West or South Beach, good chunks of Fort Lauderdale and Boca Raton. Florida's got a lot of gay happening, and they're having a good time. And they should be having a good time. It's 2024. We're the most tolerant and inclusive society we've ever been. But what they wanted to do to slander Ron DeSantis is he passed a bill banning sexual education for kids below third grade. Now, I got to be honest with you. I think the ban should have went further as a parent. I still think they're far too young to be taught about sex. But the reality is every parent in Florida, not every parent, but over 80% of the parents in Florida were on board with this, because most people operating from a place of common sense know that anybody who wants to teach a second grader around sex shouldn't be around a second grader. Okay, that's just reality.
He knows what he's talking about.
I'm just being honest. Okay, if you were hiring a babysitter for your first grader, your second grader, and they were like, now you guys go catch dinner in a movie, I'll teach the kid about sex. Okay, you'd be like,
somebody ought to belt you in the mouth.
Okay, shouldn't be. Kids still developing. They're too young. They've got so much to learn. And they shouldn't be told they're trapped in the wrong body. Okay, you should be teaching kids to add before you teach them to subtract their junk. Okay, and that's what DeSantis was shielding against. He didn't ban trans sex or gay sex and allow straight sex. He banned all sex for kids under the age of third grade. Okay, and got books out of school libraries that were so pornographic we weren't allowed to read them on TV when we were covering the stories. Think about that. But they decried it as don't say gay. And ultimately at Disney, because they were basically held hostage by a staff that decided they wanted to be some type of civil rights pioneer, they all went to bat against a straw man argument that DeSantis was banning gay people and trans people. And Disney reconfigured the park in the process, lost a ton of money, at which point Mickey gave the staff a good talk.
Now listen, little boy.
And he called them boy. Yeah, he didn't call them they. He didn't call them them. Because, you know, Mickey lives by the old credo, if it don't make dollars, it don't make sense. So what ultimately is happening in all of these like gender equity, DEI things is these college degrees that are being sold right now to kids don't come with commensurate jobs. And because of that, you're getting more and more kids saddled with massive student debt. Okay, you're getting more and more colleges that don't have to do anything to concern themselves with the cost because the government's going to wind up bailing people out in the long run, assuming the Supreme Court doesn't step in again. And for that reason, you can't look out at America and feel like we have an administration that's driving the thing in the right direction. And that's why you get a number like this. 22% say they were better off than they were 4 years ago. 52% say they were worse off. 0.25% says they were the same. Okay, so if you're looking at Biden's policies, think about that. 52% think they're worse off. Then there's a percentage who think they're the same. And then there's, of course, 22% who say they're better. That's not acceptable. We're supposed to be the shiny city on the hill. Right now, we're like a fixer-upper on HGTV. It's embarrassing. Okay, when you look at the actual number as we go forward and you couple that with the fact that 70% of Americans think we're headed in the wrong direction, it's just because we're fighting the wrong battles. I mean, when you look out at the military and we're talking about a more tolerant or inclusive military, guys, I got to be honest, there's nothing more tolerant or inclusive than war. You're never going to hear a guy go, cover me, I'm going in, except for you people. That's not how it works. The military is the most integrated faction of society that we have, and it's been that way for as long as we've had a military. People want to fight your battle. I mean, physically fight your battle. You don't discriminate against that. We've never had it. We're not letting you in. Okay. We went through a pocket with don't say, don't ask, don't tell when it came to gays in the military. But we are far past that now. Now we're putting, you know, transgender generals in there, and we're talking to people about the correct language to use. The rest of the world is getting ready to bomb us back to the Stone Age. And we're like, as long as you don't misgender us in the mushroom cloud, we'll be fine with it. That's what's going on now. That's what we're running now. We have an administration that's creating a military that's going to be rolling onto the battlefield in solar-powered tanks with coexist bumper stickers on the back. And we're going to lose every war, but they're all going to come home with a trophy. That's the America you're living in right now. That's why nobody thinks they're better off. When you look at the border, it's obviously worse off. 10 million people have crossed the border illegally. We've got a record level of fentanyl poisoning deaths. Migrants are robbing people all over the country right now. I'm not trying to be racist and cast aspersions on all of them. I know some people need the food cut up nicely and put into their mouth when they're conversing, or it's something's taken as a general slander. But you look at like New York. I told you this story earlier in the week. We're out shooting in Times Square, and we got our shoot interrupted because our plainclothes security needed to move us away from a Venezuelan pickpocket gang that's just known in Times Square for pickpocketing tourists. So I'm interviewing a woman, and she's quietly surrounded. It looks innocent enough because Times Square is very crowded by a bunch of people, one of whom is going to bump into her, another who's going to apologize while a third guy takes her wallet. That's how it works. And like our plainclothes security notices that. You think about it, that's like the New York I live in right now. That's crazy. Okay, let me give you another one about why you think people are headed in the wrong direction. Okay, here is Eyewitness News. Okay, I played a clip two nights ago of Keith Ellison, the attorney general in Minneapolis, telling us, you know, the real problem with auto theft is the manufacturers. You know, we got to go after these automakers. The cars are so easy to steal. Cars are so easy to steal that kids are just stealing them now. We're enticing these kids to steal the cars. That's what he's saying. I'm not even kidding.
That is absolutely the most ridiculous excuse I have ever heard in my entire career as a disciplinarian.
No, kids aren't stealing cars because they're easy to steal. They're stealing cars because they have no respect for the law, because they're not being punished, because their friends aren't being punished. But what are they telling you? Nah, the problem with auto theft, it's not the criminals are doing it, it's the manufacturers. Look what she was wearing, Your Honor. She wanted it. Who places an anti-theft device there? I mean, that's what they're down to now. Listen to Eyewitness News in New York telling New Yorkers, if you're worried about migrants squatting in your home, you can't kick them out under the law in New York. Someone squats in your home in New York, you can't kick them out. They live there now. You kick them out, you go to jail. You get violent, you go to jail. They broke into your house, declared that they live there. They didn't sign a lease. They don't pay you rent. They broke in and squatted there. Here is what we're down to now on ABC7, our local network. They're telling people to put up no trespassing signs in the house. That'll get the job.
You cannot be serious.
Listen to this. This is clip 9.
You can do this, Bill. Look, this was $3.47 at Home Depot. It is a no trespassing sign. You can put this up in your front door, on your property line, somewhere where you can see it from the street. But this is the catch. Take a time-stamped picture of the sign. Most iPhones do this automatically. Yeah. Because what you want to prove to police is that the sign was up before the squatters moved in. You know what I mean? So you have to show that time and date stamp. That's also why video security is so important. Yeah. You can show they broke in, entered illegally, and then you have helped take away their squatter rights.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Listen, you know what you actually do to keep squatters out of your house? You enforce the law. you throw them in jail. The idea, you put a no trespassing sign in the window. Guys, they're breaking into your house. They don't respect your $3.47 sign, with all due respect. It's already illegal to break into your house on multiple fronts. Not that anybody enforces the laws anymore, but it's already illegal. In the history of robberies, nobody has ever said, oh, you know, we were going to break in and squat in this place, but we saw the no trespassing sign, and we were like, you know, we better stay out. Okay, but this idea that they want you to believe this is normal now. You put in a no trespassing sign, you take a picture with today's date on it. So the next time when someone has broken into your house now living there and you can't, you now have this photographic proof that they broke in. And now you can go to court for 4 or 5 years and try to get them out. How about we just create a society where they don't get let in the first place?
I think he's got a point.
Yeah, and the point is, when you really look around,
country is being destroyed by stupid people, by very stupid people.
A show so good, it's hard to describe.
It's not a matter of, it's a matter of, you just, oh, in the club, I mean, as and you know.
It's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
You know, so,
It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Dumbest time there's ever been to be alive. Kennedy's coming by in the next hour to help us make sense of it. Arizona Representative Andy Biggs will be here as well. Something that made me laugh, here is KJP rushing off the phone with an interviewer. This is funny. Just listen to this. She's talking to Mark Garrison of WBT News, and it does not go as planned. This is clip 16.
They all said, would you please just ask her? Does the president have dementia? And so before I move on from that, does he?
That is an incredibly offensive question to ask.
But you know people ask it.
Costs have gone down because of what this president has been able to do. And with that, thank you so much, Mark. Have an amazing, amazing day.
Wow.
Wow.
She hung up. She is so bad at her job.
But do you notice that she didn't say no? She didn't deny it. I mean, she tried to forcefully dismiss it. And I don't know why anyone would suspect this guy of having dementia. I don't think it.
You know, the rapidly rising
I'm just saying, I don't, you know, people allege this all the time. I don't see it.
I am very willing to let the American public judge my physical and mental fitness.
That's all I'm trying to say. So, you know, she's well within her rights to get upset. Okay. This is a guy who, you say what you want about it. Maybe you don't like his policies. You don't like that we're spending all our money on the pretend belief that we can control the weather. And we're laundering it in Ukraine. You might not agree with that, but you'd have to admit this is a guy who knows the thing. I mean, you know the thing, too.
We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by you know the thing.
How dare you ask her? This is a man who knows the thing. You don't question the mental acuity of a man who knows the thing. For gosh sake, he's in charge of the whole frickin' country.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
But he is, and he's fighting all the right, as we speak, he's trying to save a deceased monarch.
God save the queen, man.
Live from everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, yes, it is, and we are fired up in this hour to bring you an embarrassment of radio riches. Fox Across America, your home for top shelf radio in a bottom feeding political world. Also, your home for top shelf alcohol when this next guest is around. Now, we've had some complaints. A lot of people say that every time you bring Kennedy on, all it sounds like is you guys just get drunk all the time. But that's not true. We smoke cigars. We go to Dairy Queen. We get thrown out of taxis. We do other things. We're not dirtbags.
Mix it up.
Joining me now to prove it at the tippy top of the hour. The top of the hour. The K-Train, back in studio, the Jim. Crowd goes wild. That's actually the Hamas protest across the street. What a fine day in Manhattan. Good to see you.
Are they protesting Biden?
Yes, so this is the greatest thing in the world. So at Radio City tonight, this is the gig. Stephen Colbert. So you already lost.
God.
I just write. Stephen Colbert is funny as an orphanage on fire on Christmas Day with no survivors.
Which is not funny at all.
Which, to be clear, is not funny. I know there's some people out there that are into that sort of thing. We personally want to come out against it. Okay, but anyway, not funny. But Stephen Colbert is moderating a discussion between Biden, Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, and 5,000 people. They're supposedly generating $25 million. It's $100,000 to take a selfie with the three of them because they're the party of the little guy.
Yeah, they sure are, Jim. So if you've worked hard, they're really going to get the union vote this time around.
It's tough because, you know, all of my friends that are in a Thursday night bowling league, it's going to be empty because all the pipe fitters are going to pay for $100,000
right.
selfie.
You? Yeah, because we've all got that money lying around because of Bidenomics. The economy has been so great for everybody. I mean, it trickles up.
Good luck getting a cab tonight because most cabbies I know are laying out the 100K. Go ahead.
Yeah. We were watching President Biden and President Obama walk down the little baby steps off of Air Force One, getting into a waiting car here at JFK. And it was so sad because Obama can walk.
Yes, and they shouldn't put him in the frame with anyone else.
He doesn't shuffle. He doesn't need little shoes.
But the hand thing.
He still looks like...
Where he shortens his arms and does the hands.
His cornholio hands.
But he's asking for a walker and they won't give him one. He walks like he's already on the walker.
He needs it. And I bet he's got his special little shoes, and Obama is, like, doing laps and one-arm push-ups.
Yeah, he's got a secret handshake with everybody
People cry because they miss him so much. But even, like, Bill Clinton is slow. Like, Bill Clinton is also, he's getting up there as well.
Yeah.
He is going to look like an Olympic swimmer compared to Joe Biden in terms of energy. And it's like, it's not a good contrast for the current president and two former presidents who outlap him.
They shouldn't have him on stage with anyone under 1,000. For real. Like, he should be going to, like, those actual mummy exhibits at, like, the Smithsonian. And the guys, it's a little lively today. Because it's true. It's a bad optic. And you're contrasting it. Obviously, Trump's out of Massapequa, the sad funeral of this 31-year-old cop. Awful. He was invited by the family. The cops are kind of at their wits' end with elected officials. They're telling them not to come.
Don't come.
But I get
Eric Adams, okay, fine, show up. We're going to stand up and turn our back to you.
Yeah, and that should at the very least be the toll he pays for going. Because, you know, I think it was a better time in this country, K-Train, where both parties at least, you know, could admit we agree on law enforcement. Because deep down we do. I don't believe rank-and-file Democratic voters don't want cops around.
Of course they want cops around.
Of course,
around.
That's what
you
I mean.
You know why? Because a lot of their family members are cops.
Yeah, thank you.
So this whole defund the police nonsense, and they don't say it anymore because they've realized that it's a bad policy in places like Minneapolis and San Francisco, but a lot of them still feel it.
Yep.
A lot of them still want to stick it to cops. It's like, oh, you have in New York. Thanks.
Now
there aren't enough of them.
Yeah, thanks. Way to go. So everybody's leaving. They've got a mass exodus of early retirements, and not just because Kennedy's in studio. They've left for other reasons.
I saw four uniformed officers tear off their badges and quit in shame when they found out that I was still in the building.
Like, Jimmy, you promised me you were going to do right by the American people.
Get her out of here.
Your brother's a cop. Jimmy, your brother's a cop. Is that what you were asking for?
Yeah.
Get her out. Get her out of here.
Kennedy. No, she's here. Hell no, she won't go. That's the thing. But we're talking to the K-Train. So RFK Jr. gets into the race. He announces a VP, Nicole Shanahan. Mm-hmm.
Assistant coach of the San Francisco 49ers,
correct? Yeah, I've loved what she's done with the offense. So they're going to play a run and shoot. the way I understood it, they're going to play a little bit of a run and shoot there. I think it's going to be great.
She's the CMC of independent politics.
But what's so fascinating about, like, this moment in our politics is the Trump campaign's like, he's a radical leftist. The Democrats are like, he stormed the Capitol. No one can kind of make up their mind. But I do believe more than ever, I don't know if it's going to happen because they got to get ballot access. But I do believe more than ever a third party candidate could actually make an impact. They need the access to win, but there's enough dissatisfaction with the way things are being done. What do you think? Is it viable?
I do think it's viable. I mean, they kind of say that every 4 years, like, this is the year.
Yeah.
Libertarians are always like, this is us. It's like, no, it's not. Like, I would love for it to be you guys, but you have these stupid purity litmus tests
yeah.
that no one can pass, except for, I'm Joseph Hornberger, and I'm a associate professor of economics. Therefore, I've got the most pure libertarian ideals of anyone who's ever sought higher office. And it's like, no, no one wants you.
That's
just can we have a normal person who's just like, yeah, I don't want the government to take my money or my stuff.
Imagine.
People be like, yes,
yeah.
Here we go. Where do I sign up?
People would get behind that. We're talking to Kennedy. She is in studio. And I think that is the challenge right now, though. I think for every party, this is true. And this might be why. Just give me a second on this. I think because so much of the politics now is about demonizing the other side,
mm-hmm.
that nobody can justify compromise. Nobody can justify making a concession, because if you've sold them on the idea that your opponent is the Antichrist, you probably shouldn't be giving the Antichrist a ride home.
No, or agreeing with anything
the
Antichrist. Anytime you say, oh, yeah, I got to give former President Trump credit, you are saying that you are, in fact, a Satanist.
Uh-huh. So you've admitted it.
Yeah.
You drank their blood. But enough about Rona McDaniel. Kennedy is here. She's on Fox News Saturday night this Saturday. That's kind of a really big deal.
So who dropped out?
Nobody. You stop it. You stop it right now. You want? This is a funny story, and I'll tell you a funny story about that. But let's get into this for a second, because we won't do by Saturday. We're not talking about Rona McDaniel. Nobody cares. If you work in the media, you
care. I don't even know who she is.
Yeah, okay.
I've already forgotten.
Well, this is the point, okay? So many people at MSNBC got mad and chased her out of town. But if they really knew her story, they wouldn't have cared, because Republicans didn't like her. They
no,
thought she
Trump
was like,
didn't like
of
her.
Course.
Trump fired her.
I know.
It's like she's not under the umbrella.
Nope.
What? So who more interesting to be like, yeah, I was a part of the whole thing, and it's madness, and this is what's going on, and this is why people voted that way,
uh-huh.
and this is why he hates me.
Yeah.
And you know what? He hates me, so I hate him. And yeah. then MSNBC should be going, oh, my God, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Tell us everything.
Yeah, I mean, like,
he's such a jerk.
Because think of the other Trump people they hired. Like, they over at CNN, they have, you know, his former fixer, Michael Cohen, who's on the air.
Jesus
and they love
Christmas.
That guy. Every dirtbag. Michael Avenatti was getting big reps.
Oh, the Avenatti clips yeah. are my favorite.
Oh, let's do it. You have time?
Please,
you have time?
Let's play the hits.
You guys, permanent audio. Kennedy called it out. We'll start with one, but they're both so good. Are you ready for this?
Please.
This is, and no one brings this up. You know, like if the cat goes on the rug, you're supposed to put its nose in it, supposedly. I don't know. We just kick it. But I can't. Don't call in. But this is where the media was on Avenatti. This is so good.
You got lucky tonight. We're back with attorney Michael Avenatti. He is a main player.
Sitting beside me right now, I'm not going to let you cheat. You have to guess. And a hint, his name is Michael Avenatti.
Look, I think you're doing a hell of a job. I don't think you're in this for money.
To me, you're like the Holy Spirit. You are all places at all times.
He's out there saving the country.
You know what?
He's saving the country, Behar.
See his next chapter.
Absolutely.
Play that
Michael
to joy
Avenatti
every day.
For president in 2020.
He's Donald Trump's worst nightmare. Michael.
Come on.
Existential threat to the Trump presidency.
Colbert.
Please welcome attorney Michael Avenatti.
Looking ahead to 2020, one reason why I'm taking you seriously as a contender is because of your presence on cable news. I wrote about this pack. Among 2020 contenders on the Democratic side,
what do Democrats value most? If they decide they value a fighter most,
yes.
people would be foolish to underestimate Michael yeah. Avenatti.
Michael Avenatti is a beast.
Okay, that's true.
And
he's a beast.
He's a beast, and he keeps popping Donald Trump and all of his folks in the mouth repeatedly. He's a beast.
One of the reasons I'm taking you serious as a presidential contender, I mean, is there's I don't know where you start,
yeah.
but that's who these
He's
people
like
are.
The Holy Spirit.
You're He's
everywhere.
I love the bet, Lawrence O'Donnell. The thing I like about you is you're not in it for the money. He's in jail right now for trying to extort Nike and
he
for
was
robbing Stormy
only
Daniels.
Only in it for the money.
The only man to put Stormy Daniels in a bad position, Michael Avenatti.
And she's flexible. So that's
let me
to
tell
do.
You, man. So that's who they are.
Yes.
And it doesn't come up enough. You know, there's never like a comeuppance. And that's the part of this that does make it worth speaking to me is like they ran her out of town because they were like, well, January 6th, Trump, he denied the results of an election.
But who did they welcome in?
Of course. Every single member
of the hacks.
Yeah. Oh, man.
And Joe Scarborough and Mika.
Oh, did you guys do that on Outnumbered?
I, you know, MSNBC, the NBC brass, did not consult us on this hire. But if they did, we would not have approved. It's like they don't consult you because you're a jackass.
Yeah, why would they? But I also can't imagine, like, the level of, like, entitlement across the street at that channel that we don't complain about the muffins in the break room. I mean, I get told not to eat them, but that's why I'm not complaining. But could you imagine?
The Easter Bunny pops up and just pushes you away from the snack baskets.
They have the guy from the White House.
Exactly.
Hey, Jim, over here. And I hops over and I follow him down the hall, and then they put the snacks away. Oh, it's so sad. But yeah, they're just like, people are out of their minds, man. But one of the things, and this is what I think the biggest challenge is for the media, is like, remember how in 2016 we were like, they talked about everything but what people cared about. I think they're back there.
Yes.
In a lot of ways, right?
And, well, also, like, they had the luxury of campaigning during a pandemic when people were really mad at the government.
Yes.
And Trump represented the government. Mm-hmm. So schools were closed. Businesses were closed. You couldn't go out. It was tough to fly.
Yeah.
So they were mad, and then they just stuck Biden in the basement, and he would pop out every 4 days and go, I'm not Trump. They do not have that luxury. So there are all these polls, and one of my favorite recent polls is, what has the president accomplished? And 19% say he's accomplished something on the economy, 6% on, like, student debt, 6% on some unnameable foe, and 38% said nothing, that the president has accomplished nothing.
Nothing.
38% of the country also approves of him. So it's the math isn't there.
No.
He's not doing well. He's a feeble little guy who's falling apart. Mm-hmm. The country is, and his mental health is a metaphor for the country.
It really is. Kennedy's in studio telling Biden to go where the votes are, to the cemetery.
At least places like Georgia and Pennsylvania.
We gotta win this race. We gotta win this race, Elvis. There it is. So,
lemonade.
Give me a minute on this, because we have a lot of listeners on the West Coast. You sold out the shows at the Carson Nugget. We all thought that would be the case, so that's, you know, you're just meeting expectations there. But was it everything I told you it would be in terms of ridiculousness? Isn't it a great place to do comedy?
It was such a wonderful crowd.
Yes,
they were leaning into everything.
The best. Uh-huh.
It was so much fun.
Can't offend them.
No. And I tried. I shat in the cup on stage.
What did you sell that for? And there's a couple of people
actually,
in that audience.
It'll net you more than farts in a jar, it turns
really?
Out. Which...
As it turns out. No, they're just the best crowd, and you can't offend them. But they're what... This is weird. I want you to know this, too. A lot of comedy audiences are where they're at.
Yes.
Meaning most people don't want to be offended. They didn't... You know, that whole thing we just went through of, like, outrage.
Yeah.
That's the internet. The people in the club.
That's a few people on the internet.
It's literally
that is
people.
Not the majority of
no,
people.
No, it's a few people on the internet and a few lazy writers who get a column out of, people are outraged.
Yes.
And there's, like, three guys with no profile picture. Say they're mad.
Yep.
Somebody writes a letter.
John 4769284 with an egg pick for his profile.
I love that guy. Like, I get that guy at least once a week telling me something about how I look. I'm like, you don't even have a profile.
Everyone
picture.
Hates you. No, they don't.
It's such a broken place.
Yes. It really is. But so Carson City, Nevada is a wonderful, rare enclave of political independence, which you must celebrate in that part of the country. But it was the same when I went with Kat to her show in Portland, Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
The entire crowd, they loved every second. They want to laugh so badly.
Yeah, uh-huh.
They are being told that they are oppressors.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're bad, racist people. It's like, no, we're good, normal, just trying to raise kids and own a business. That's all.
Just get out of my way. Yeah. Like, honestly, people just want to be left alone.
You know that? And then this lady in Carson City came up to me, pulled me aside and said, hi there. I was just wondering, how many farts in a jar have you sold?
There's a market.
Like, not enough.
Half of our pranks are now viable business opportunities. It's
streaking?
It's an actual thing. Oh, well, yeah, we can go there. That's for another time. Listen to the Kennedy Saves the World.
My parole officer said.
Thank you. Listen to the Kennedy Saves the World podcast. Check out our new column in the Daily Mail.
That's right.
We're going to be talking about that Saturday night, Fox News. So you better believe it's going to come up.
Solid,
no,
Jim.
We're getting into all the good stuff.
Woo!
But there it is, the K-Train. You know her, you love her. Watch her this Saturday on Fox News Saturday night. And
get her out. Get her out of here.
Aw, heck.
You're listening to Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
I enjoyed it. It was an unbelievably interesting experience.
You're out.
Oh, there it is. Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Shout out to the K-Train, who will be joining me on set for Fox News Saturday night this weekend. Listen to this, I mean, listen to this lineup. It's bananas. Are you ready for this? I'm serious. So Kennedy's on the panel. That's great. Charles McBee. You know him and love him on this show. You see him on the road with me. He's a regular on the show. Diamond Dave Landau also on the panel. So Kennedy, McBee, and Landau on the same panel.
This could be a problem.
Yeah, for the guy who controls the dump button, this is a put on a pot of coffee. This guy's going to be working overtime. Jesse Waters. We booked Jesse Waters on the show this weekend.
That's stupid. Use your common sense.
I agree, but he has a book out. He had me on his show, so I'll put him on. It's the right thing to do. And Mike Vecchione, phenomenal stand-up comic. You've heard him on this show. You've probably seen him on Fox News Saturday night. He will be there as well. And it is the 10th anniversary of the greatest prank ever staged. We will be celebrating it this weekend ahead of the April Fool's festivities. And man, oh boy, oh man, some other things going on that we won't get into because they are in the final stages of production. But let's just say it's been a busy week of filming and running around for your radio, buddy. That being said, we got to get back to doing actual radio. It can't be all sandwich boarding for the Jimmy stuff. But if you want to come see me at the Helena Civic Center on Friday night, you're certainly welcome to. A couple of seats still available. We'd love to have you there.
You are so dumb. You are really dumb. For real.
Now, you want to know dumb? Okay. Here's Kamala Harris telling you her strategy at the border is working. 10 million people have gotten in illegally, but it's working. Here it is, clip 28.
For the past 3 years, I have led our administration's efforts to address the root causes of migration from Northern Central America and to create what we have named the Root Causes Strategy. This work is improving lives and livelihoods in the region and addressing the factors that drive people to migrate to the United States.
We have people in Washington that don't know what they're doing.
She says the policy is improving lives and livelihoods and addressing the factors that drive people to migrate to the United States. No, it's not, because the factors that are driving people to the United States are Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, and unfortunately, they're both still here.
It's the morning show that overslept. Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
To talk to this next guest. And gosh, I hope that sounded sincere. I've been rehearsing it all morning. From the Fighting 5th Congressional District of Arizona, Andy Biggs is on the line. Hey, man.
Hey, Jimmy. It's good to be with you. Thanks for playing Guess Who, great Canadian band, right before I come on. That's awesome. Everybody's saying Guess Who. Right. Fantastic.
Well, I will have you know that song is now called American Person. You can't say woman.
Well, because you can't define it.
Yeah, yeah, they've been canceled. They've apologized for the harm they've caused. The concert's canceled. We all have to go home. good to hear your voice. I am. I'm in New York City tonight. This is what's going on. You talk about a tale of two Americas. So sadly, you know, we had a cop killed in New York, and Trump is out on Long Island at the funeral right now. So between 20 miles. On the east end of the 20 miles is Donald Trump attending a cop's funeral. On the west end, right here in New York City, Joe Biden's getting ready to do a $25 million fundraiser with Obama and Bill Clinton. Does anything illustrate the priorities of the two men greater than this exact moment in time?
No, I can't. It's ironic, isn't it? I mean, yeah. I'm actually kind of speechless about it. When you think that you got Larry Curley and Mo down there raising money.
Yep.
And you have Donald Trump attending a very solemn event to commemorate the service of this officer who was wrongfully killed. It to me, it's it, It shows the divide in America today.
Yep.
Absolutely the divide in America today.
Yeah, one side just wants to win an election. The other one is concerned about your day-to-day life. And that's the biggest, I think the biggest shortfall of the Biden administration is so many of the things they've done have just hurt people's day-to-day life. If you're talking about the border, I mean, that'd certainly be the best example. But so many of the other things they've done in terms of runaway spending and inflation and everything in between have caused us to take a step back. So there's polling out right now. This is wild. So Fox News survey, 22% of Americans say they're better off now than they were 4 years ago, meaning 78% are not. And even the 22, I mean, I would imagine, you know, they run drug cartels at the border. I don't know who these 22 are. Do you?
Well, I like to, I've always believed that that some people are moving up always in an economy, right?
Yeah.
So that, you know, we see each other going up and down the ladder, but we're, you know, generally on average, we do all right.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe those people were living in cardboard boxes or something. Or I don't know.
They made it to a tent.
Yeah,
they didn't define better off. You're right.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the baseline, they moved up there in the tents all over New York, San Francisco, D.C., Phoenix, downtown Phoenix. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's a mess. We're talking to Arizona Representative Andy Biggs. And, you know, a clip I played before you came on was Kamala Harris saying that her root causes strategy is working at the border. I feel like we have different definitions of working.
Well, let's just put it this way. Their policies are working. This is what they want. This is purposeful. I have no idea what Kamala Harris I can tell you, I've been down to the border so many times. I talk to people all the time coming across. We'd say, why are you coming? And I've never heard anyone say, we're coming because climate change has affected our nation.
Yeah.
Not once. Never did I hear anybody say that. But the reality is, this is Kamala Harris, who thinks a yellow school bus is yellow. It takes kids to school, and it looks like a bus. And that's something special for all of us. That when she says it's working, she means it. The people are coming in willy-nilly, wherever they want to go.
And they want to. But do you know how insulting it is to anyone's intelligence to be like, you know, people are 1,000 miles away going, you know, the weather's going to be bad in 50 years. We better get out of here. It's not the cartel violence or the food insecurity. I was looking at the 50-year forecast, hon. You know what? Grab grandma. We're going for a walk.
Yeah. And it's more insidious. I mean, think about it. These people are they're paying $5,000 a head minimum. Everybody I've talked to is $5,000 or more. But yeah, I've talked to people who paid more. And they're leaving everything. They're paying $5,000. They're coming on up. And as Trump says, we're not getting their best. They don't speak our language.
Mm-hmm.
They have no cultural affinity. And contrary to what the left thinks, the radical Marxist crazy left says, America has a very unique culture. Mm-hmm. It's based on freedom. It's based on innovation, creativity. It's based on this notion that you work hard. At least it used to be.
Imagine.
Yeah. you work hard. And we have people coming in. I'm not saying that they don't share some of that, but we have this. It was our tie to our own government because we thought our government would protect our rights to do all of those things, to fulfill the measure of our creation, right?
Yep.
And you've got people coming over who say, yeah, we want them to fulfill the measure of our creation. The measure of our creation is we want free health care. We want free education. We want free travel. We want free cell phones, all of this stuff. And we want you to give us a monthly income to boot. That's you're getting people who are coming here for that in some respects. And then you have some who just really aren't the best of people.
Yeah, no, and that's a lot of what we're dealing with here in New York. This is a wild story. I mean, you've probably heard versions of this out by you. But Monday night, I was out in Times Square. And when we go out to film people on the street, you know, as a network, I know it's always a great time. We have a good amount of like plainclothes security that's out there. And I don't even know who they are half the time because that's how they keep you even safer. And it's fascinating, but they're out there. So anyway, two different times during the course of interviews Monday night, I had interviews interrupted because people I was talking to on the street, unbeknownst to them or me, had been surrounded by Venezuelan pickpocket gangs. who don't identify themselves as, hey, I'm a pickpocket. It's just in a crowded Times Square, three guys that are working as a team will randomly be around someone, you know, because you're, again, it's crowded. So you got a picture like you're standing on the floor at a concert. And yeah, they just randomly will hover around an unsuspecting person. One guy bumps into you. The other guy apologizes while the third guy's taking your wallet. And that's a common practice. So we just – the other night we had it happen two different times. But it's pretty common here because, you know, to your point of people are getting into the country now that aren't necessarily coming here because they're buying into what we do. They're coming here specifically because their country didn't want them and let them out of prison because they knew they'd come here.
Exactly right. Exactly right. And the CBP chief, the new CBP chief, whose name just escapes me, but he actually said that the known gotaways, 175,000 in the last few months, right? Mm-hmm. That really keeps them awake at night because they don't know where they're going. You know what keeps me awake? Not the 175,000. That keeps me awake. But you have at least that many again that they don't know about. That's the estimate. This is merely an estimate.
Yep.
So in the last 3, 4, or 5 months, you have 350,000 mm-hmm. people come in. We don't know who they're. It's not. Here's the deal. It's not like we're even vetting the people who show up and surrender to the Border Patrol.
Nope.
We can't vet them because it's garbage in, garbage out. If I say to you, hey, you know, where are you from? What's your name? And instead of saying Jimmy Fallon, I'm from recently released from, you know, Rikers. You would say something like, "Hey, I'm Joe Schmitz, and I'm coming in from Canada."
Yeah, and they go, "All right, you're good."
Okay, good to go, Canada. All right, because we don't know. You just don't know what you don't know, and we don't have access to. You have 160 nations represented in the people who are coming across illegally that we're catching. Most of them don't have a database of their criminals and bad guys, and
it is
absolutely about as nutty as you can get.
Yep, I took an Arizona representative, Andy Biggs, and I think that's the part that jumps out at me the most is you and me have actually been having this conversation for 3 years because we've been breaking these numbers for 3 years. We've been witnessing this sort of carnage for 3 years. They're kind of paying it lip service now, obviously, because it's an election year. But on some level, I mean, they actually have to be indifferent to whatever chaos they're causing in order to let this endure. Do they not?
Yeah. I mean, that is the problem is I do believe it's purposeful. I think this is an intentional deal. I mean, that's why they killed, for instance, that's why they killed the census question of citizenship. I mean, mm-hmm. because it impacts redistricting, right?
Mm-hmm.
So just to give you a little feel for this, I was driving up in Mesa. I had to fly back to D.C. earlier this week.
Mm-hmm.
I go walking, I mean, driving up through this area of Mesa, and they're under Trump, the illegal aliens who'd come and work. Not work. They stand there waiting for work. They had dissipated. They weren't there. Weren't there. We went there yesterday. Or 2 days ago, 3 days ago, and it was. I had never seen that many people there. They're all. I mean, this is. Yeah. It used to be the hangout, and that's what's happening everywhere. It impacts neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. It impacts your economy, and for people to say, well, you know, no big deal, which is basically what the Biden administration said. This they said it's no big deal.
Mm-hmm. That's nuts.
Yeah.
And you think about it. None of us, again, and I bring this up every time we have this talk, none of us are saying don't come. Everyone's saying just come legally. And they try to make the debate about us being like anti-immigrant. And I'm like, all right, we're not having the same conversation here because everybody on the right is saying, yeah, come legally, pay taxes, buy into the system. But that's the biggest problem. It's like if someone's denying you an honest conversation around the issue, it's because they're in favor of the issue continuing as is.
Right.
Bottom
line.
You are always
giving me time to be honest with you. And I appreciate that.
Come on. We have grown up talks.
Yeah, that's right. But the reality is people, unless you get down there, it's hard to see, really recognize how bad the border situation is.
Yeah.
And when Kamala Harris goes down there and she stays in the airport or runs off to a little cantina so she can have a margarita and then never even, you know,
yeah.
it's 10 minutes to the border.
Yeah.
And President Biden, he was in Phoenix. Mm-hmm. A week or two ago. Does he go to the border? No. I don't know what he was rambling on about here, but
no.
the point is they don't care enough to even view it, because if they were to go to the border,
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden at Lukeville,
yeah,
or they would see all these people coming in that are just pouring through. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a steady stream 24/7.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they don't want to see that. They don't want the media to see it. They don't want the American people to see it.
Yeah, it's crazy. They're trying to they don't want to bring that White House press pool to the actual scene, because then it does nationalize the story. In a way, they're kind of getting away with not doing that. I mean, it's really fascinating. But, you know, listen, on the plus side, it is Easter. So we may see the Easter Bunny if Biden starts taking questions over the weekend. It's always nice to see the rabbit jump out.
He'll be shaking hands with air. And then the Easter Bunny will come out and say, look, nobody's there.
Listen, to this day.
He'll turn around and say, Harvey. He'll call the Easter Bunny Harvey. Hey,
the movie.
Harvey has shown up.
To this day, and I really believe this, if you go watch that video, Biden looks like a man who believes he met a talking bunny. Like, it's the most
exactly.
unnerving thing I've ever seen. Because he truly looks like, oh, wow, Jill, you got to see this, babe. Get over here. And,
yeah, I've been telling you about this bunny for years.
I told you he could talk. What a time to be alive.
Oh, it's amazing.
Well,
and by the way, if you were in an intelligence officer in any bad guy's country in the world, you would take that video and you would show it to the dictator authoritarian guy, and you'd say, hey, no need to fear. This is the yo-yo that's ahead of United States of America today.
We're good, boss. Man, what a time to be alive. But, I mean, you got to look at the upside. This is a man this Sunday who can hide his own Easter eggs because he doesn't know where they are, and it's great. You got to look at the perks.
Yeah, but the bummer is those eggs will go rotten pretty quick.
There's that. Andy Biggs, great stuff, man. We'll do it again, brother.
Thanks, Jimmy.
You're the best. There he goes. Andy Biggs. Man is from the great state of Arizona. He has seen the border carnage up close and personal. My man Bill Malusian, who's always down at the border for Fox News, he tells you, man, it's like it's really sick, like what they're willing to let happen at the top of a government, because it's preventable stuff. I mean, the border, again, is not crowded because of climate change. It's not crowded because of our immigration system needs reformed. It's crowded because they're getting in. Do you remember the old Willie Sutton line, the famous bank robber in the 30s? Why do you rob the banks? Because that's where the money is. Okay, that's the border. Why do you go to the border? Because they let me in. They're not going because of climate change. They're going because they're getting in. The climate change could be the worst thing you've ever seen. Okay, you're not walking 1,000 miles if you know somebody's going to pull a vacation and go, sorry, folks, park's closed. Moose out front should have told you. They're not doing that. That's what we need. We need Marty Moose. At the southern border, I would try my hands with a Marty Moose. Sorry, folks, park's closed. Moose up front should have told you. That would have got the job done better than these people, John Candy.
When you're right, you're right, and you're right.
You're listening to the show that Standard & Poor describes as Standard & Poor.
I would say he's incompetent, but I don't want to do that because that's not nice.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
There it is, Fox Across America, with your radio buddy, Jimmy Failla. It's Thursday. You live in the greatest country in the world.
Freedom!
You do, though. I'm getting ready to go on the road tomorrow. I got a nice 5 a.m. flight out to Helena, Montana. Helena Civic Center. Hey, girl. And then Saturday, we will be Spokane, Washington, at the Fox Theater. Very fancy, these theater gigs. Our crowd, by the way. Fantastic so far. I've been on the road. I've done five shows so far. You guys. Daddy. We have the best crowds. I say it a lot because I take pride in that, because I actually curated that. Like, that's my vibe. That's the brand you and I distill on the radio together every day. And so you get to do comedy in that, like, atmosphere. It's like the coolest thing. It's like if I could build an audience in a lab. Like, do you remember the movie Strange Brew where they, they're building the girl. They have the bigger boobs.
Hubba, hubba.
Like, if I could build you guys in a lab, I've done it. It's like a test tube audience. You guys are phenomenal. You couldn't be better than you are. And in the next hour, I'm going to need you because it's such a, it's just such a food fight. There's one other clip I wanted to throw at you that caught my attention this week. So we had this tragic bridge collapse we've been covering down in Baltimore, the Francis Scott Key Bridge. In his attempt to console the nation, Joe Biden spoke about traveling over the bridge many times by train. There's only one small problem. The bridge has never had train tracks.
Biden's lost his marbles.
Listen to this, clip 38.
At about 1:30, a container ship struck the Francis Scott Key Bridge, which I've been over many, many times commuting from the state of Delaware in our train or by car.
I mean...
Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed.
Over 1:30, container ship struck Francis Scott Bridge, which I've been over many, many times commuting from the state of Delaware, either by train or by car.
This man needs a retirement home and a warm bowl of soup.
Now, the White House has tried to push back and say, oh, he was clearly speaking about driving. Because, you know, when people ask you how the drive home was and you go, good, I was on the train for a little while, then I was in the car for a little while. Well, clearly, this is a man who was only speaking about driving. I mean, it's crazy because they're asking you not to believe your lying eyes. You know that old phrase? No, man, this guy's sharp as a tack. How dare you question his cognitive skills?
If you like Biden so much, name three of his complete sentences.
Live from everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, girl. Guess who's back in action for a big hour of Fox Across America? You and me are.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Well, you better dig it. So we're going to need your help to get through this hour. Diamond Dave Landau en route to Manhattan right now. I don't think he's getting in this hour. So we're going to go it alone. We're going to do a good old-fashioned complete game, wire-to-wire like Secretariat in the 76 Belmont Stakes. There it is, 888-788-9910 if you want in. But I got a lot to say, so I can't promise you we're even going to let you in. I like to champion myself as a man of the people, but I was off yesterday. And so much has transpired in this week that I want to throw the challenge flag at. But again, we will welcome your calls at 888-788-9910. But right now, I would like to have the floor, if it's not too much to ask, this being my show and all. I don't normally pull rank around here. I always say the whole hook of the show is I'm not the star, we are. And that is very much the case. It is our movement. My superpower is the fact that I don't have one. But I think I've also developed quite a following with you folks because I'm just honest with you. I'm not trying to steer your vote. I don't want to be in charge of the country. I have very strong opinions on who I think should be in charge of the country, to be fair. That being said, the point of this hour of radio is to just chill out, have a grown-up talk about things without this turning into, you know, a little shouting, screaming.
I'll break you in half like a little toothpick.
No, we're not doing that. I'm the one guy in media. I have waded into this storm of division, and I have attempted. I have staked my entire career, my radio show, and my TV show on coexistence.
You got some big testicles to pull this off, bro.
Maybe. But the point is, I'm not threatened by other people's ideas, okay? Nobody should be threatened by other people's ideas. But there is a word for folks who are. They are called Democrats.
Correctamundo.
Not all Democrats, but the Democrats in the media specifically are the ones that I'm referring to.
The media is a bunch of losers.
Oh, they really are. But understand this, and it's a point you hear me make a lot. A lot of folks who listen to conservative talk radio or consume conservative media have gotten into the mindset that every Democrat feels the way the people they see on TV do.
That is a fact check false.
Whereas, I'm being honest with you. Republicans, conservative broadcasters, their views do align with that of their followers. Okay, in the sense that we want limited government, we want secure borders, we want our country to come before others. you know, if we're going to be the greatest source of good the world has ever known, we've got to be in a position to be that source of good. Right now, we're $34 trillion in debt. Okay, this party can end really, really fast.
He knows what he's talking about.
So it would be nice to get our situation here at home under control. But understand this. When it comes to the media and the things they prioritize in this moment, they're very much just consumed with winning elections. Now, the same is true for the Republican Party. Make no mistake about it. They want to win the next election more than anything else they want to do. Okay, but the way to go about winning it on the Republican side is, hey, let's have this conversation. This is what we're trying to do. We want to secure the border. Okay, we want to get crime under control. Remember those things? You know, we want domestic energy production to be a centerpiece of our economy because so much of the world's security depends on it. Okay, whether it's our ability to financially provide security to ourselves and our allies, or the fact that everyone attacking us or doing so through a proxy around the globe is doing so because some type of a dictator has money that's worth a lot more money now than it was when Joe Biden took over in 2021.
I don't remember that ever happening.
But it did. But when you look at our conflicts around the globe, Russia can only invade Ukraine because Putin is making money hand over fist because we're no longer a net exporter of oil. Okay, Putin's money and his oil money is now worth more than ever. Iran, which is funding all of the proxy attacks in the Middle East, is only in a position to do so because they had $4 billion in oil reserves when Trump left office. They have $71 billion now because of the current guy. Okay, that's reality.
Biden is such a disaster.
But anyway, when you go over into the media and you go over into the Democratic Party and you look at what they're prioritizing to win the next election, it's pretend racism. It's pretend fascism. It's he's a dictator. Guys, here's the thing about dictators, just so you understand. Dictators, look around the globe, don't get power through elections, okay? They get power through force, okay? They don't respect elections per se. You could tell me you didn't like Trump's, you know, actions in the aftermath of 2020, okay? But if that's a disqualifier, then you really can't vote for any Democrat who said Russia stole the 2016 election. And just to be clear, they all did. So what you understand is the Democrats are running on a host of strawman arguments. Everybody's a racist. We'll save you from the racism. Okay? We can control the weather. Vote for us. We'll control the weather. That's a popular...
Sell crazy someplace else. We're all stocked up here.
They do say it, though. It's fascinating stuff. Do you understand when it comes to climate change really quick? So quick. Okay? China and India outpollute the rest of the world by about a 5-to-1 margin. So if the United States never emitted another drop of carbon, not another drop, forget carbon neutral. We just ceased to exist. We had an existential Bruce Willis goes up to shoot the meteorite. It doesn't work out so good this time around. It hits the planet, okay, in Armageddon 2. And there's no more America. Here's a newsflash. Pollution would continue to rise because of China, because of India. Which means all we're really doing as a country, because the planet is a pool, it's shared by all of us. All we're really doing down our end is creating a no peeing section in the pool. But here's a news flash, okay? If you share the pool with the deep end and the middle end and everybody else, it means at the end of the day, no matter what you do, you all wind up swimming in the pee section. The only difference is we're decimating our economy. And we're empowering dictators around the globe in the name of doing so. We're outsourcing energy production to Venezuela, where they have a dictator in charge. Think about that. Okay, and in the process, we're making the climate filthier because we need more fuel just to get it into the country. They burn it they produce it filthier, and then we use extra gas just to get it here. Okay, so we're not reducing emissions anywhere. The only thing they're really doing is controlling the economy to their benefit.
Money, 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 money.
But they run for office based on other things. What was the big hullabaloo in the media this week? Okay, they're like, well, we can't have Rona McDaniel over on NBC. Well, Rona McDaniel, just so you understand, was hated by Republicans because she was viewed as an establishment Republican. Okay, Trump didn't like her. That's why he got rid of her. But she goes over to NBC to do what every ex-Trump ally does, which is ultimately say he's the devil, we're all going to die. Think of how many members of the Trump orbit now work in media. Okay, all the guys. Michael Cohen, who was public enemy number one, because they said, what, he's Trump's fixer and Stormy Daniels and blah, blah, blah. He's probably Russian himself. And the minute he was willing to show up to CNN and go, I think Trump's the worst, they were like, you're hired. Cassidy Hutchinson, that fraud who testified, was contradicted by the Secret Service and the driver of Trump's presidential limo. Cassidy Hutchinson claimed with a straight face that on January 6th, Trump lunged for the steering wheel in the Beast and hit a Secret Service agent and said, turn it around. We're going to the Capitol with a straight face.
Are you stupid or something?
She doesn't believe that. She just knows that that's what they want to hear. So you understand, they had a meltdown this week because Rona McDaniel got hired. But the left exists in such an echo chamber that they have no idea what anyone outside of it is saying. So they automatically assumed if you're hiring Rona McDaniel, you're just hiring somebody who's an out-and-out Trump sympathizer.
Wrong.
Furthest thing from it. Rona McDaniel took the money because she was going to show up and tell them what they wanted to hear. Orange man bad, you guys. Okay, and that's what they were after. But you understand, on this show, the reason we are trying to have an open conversation with anybody who's willing to have it with us is because America was not built. It was not built on consensus. It was built on a lack thereof. Disagreement is what forged this country. That's why we have a constitution, because we realized there were going to be moments where people were in charge of the government and had ideas that we didn't all agree with. Ergo, we needed to rein in the power of the government. That's why the Constitution exists. It's not so Republicans and Democrats can fight over who controls the government. The Constitution exists so the government doesn't control us. Okay, but we find ourselves in this moment right now where the government has so much power that the fight for control of that government has gotten insanely vicious, and it doesn't revolve around anything that matters when it comes to, you know, our day-to-day existence. Democrats aren't out there going, we'll secure the border, we'll lower prices, we'll get your kid a better education. They're going, if these guys control the government, we're all going to die. No more elections, women will never get an abortion again, and the climate's going to wipe us all out in like a half hour, okay? That's where we are now. But none of that is real. None of that actually speaks to your problems in your day-to-day life. This is why there's such a freak out about Rona McDaniel. The Democrats would have you believe that you care as much about who works at NBC as they do.
That is a fact check false.
You don't even remotely care. But here is Chris Wallace. Chris Wallace over at CNN talking about Rona McDaniel. Now, he doesn't even work at CNN, but he's still apoplectic as a member of the elite media. Chris, well, I can't believe they hired her over at CNN. I don't know what they were thinking, understanding a Trump mouthpiece would come there. Now, that's not Chris Wallace. That's me doing a pretty good Chris Wallace. But here's his take, clip 23.
If you believe in something as fundamental as the peaceful transfer of power and that we believe in elections and the winner wins and the loser concedes and goes home, to hire somebody to talk about Trumpism and supposedly given an insight into that, but someone who actually was an enabler of Trump's effort to overturn the election, I can certainly understand why our colleagues at NBC found that unacceptable. And frankly, I thought it was pretty dumb of the executives at NBC to think they were going to get away with it.
Says the guy who went to CNN, who spent the last 6 years denying the results of the 2016 election. Think about that for a second. MSNBC has Rachel Maddow, Joe Scarborough. They've got Joy Reid over there at MSNBC. She's on the air on that channel on a nightly basis. Everybody knows about her, and she's over there as well. But do you understand? They're all pretending that you don't see what they've done. Okay, here is Ari Fleischer. I'll play this for you. He's on Hannity. I'll be on Hannity tomorrow night. I don't know what they're thinking. They booked me again. But me and Sean usually close the week every Friday, assuming the news cycle doesn't get too crazy. Here's Ari Fleischer talking about this on Hannity, clip 27.
Look at NBC. As Nicole Wallace in that clip you played talked about our sacred airwaves and election denying, let's look at the things that NBC affirmed for their viewers. Trump colluded with Russia affirmers. They had the Steele dossier affirmers. 51 intelligence agents signed a letter about Russian disinformation on the Hunter laptop, they affirmed. And my all-time favorite, Donald Trump, if you remember, stole blue mailboxes off the streets to stop people from sending in their ballots, NBC reporter Rachel Maddow reported to her viewers. So if their interest is journalistic, if accuracy matters, then maybe they should go nuts about themselves instead of about Ronna McDaniel.
Oh, you don't say!
Journalism in this country is dead and buried.
Because they're not journalists. They're activists masquerading as journalists. And the reason they don't want Ronna McDaniel on there, they're doing it on the moral ground of, oh, she helped Trump deny the legitimacy of an election. Yo, they really spent 3 years saying Russia stole the election. We actually had a $33 million Mueller probe because of it. And they knew it was false because it was based on the Steele dossier, which is bought and paid for by the Clinton campaign, not a word of which was verified by the FBI. But they knew that at the time the Mueller probe started, and they ran with it anyway. So this has nothing to do with, like, integrity or moral standing and everything to do with denying us a semi-honest conversation. But you have to understand it wasn't going to be an honest conversation anyway. When they hire you as a Republican at MSNBC, they hire you as a Republican at CNN, you're not there to represent the true views of Republicans. The reason so many people in the Fox audience get mad at Jessica Tarlaw for Juan Williams, you know, you'll have your issues with Harold Ford from time to time, who's another great guy, is because they are allowed to articulate their true liberal beliefs. We're not bringing them on like it's a show trial where they claim they're liberals but then agree with the Republicans the whole time. We're bringing them on as liberals. And sometimes the audience gets mad because they don't agree. Okay, but that doesn't exist on the other channels. The Republicans on the other channels, you've heard me say this before, an MSNBC Republican is like a chicken that works on the board at Popeyes. You can call them a chicken, but it doesn't mean they're looking out for their fellow chicken's best interest. And that's the reality. Okay, so when you hear somebody like Chris Wallace, okay, start yelling. Okay, he was here at Fox when everything I'm about to play you was said. So what is it? Is it some type of like selective amnesia? Is it a collective effort to fit in with this crowd? Listen to this montage. And this is on the airwaves of a network that says their sacred airwaves can't have Ronna McDaniel. Clip 26.
To a conspiracy theory going around that the coronavirus originated and was perhaps man-made inside a lab in China.
This question about the Wuhan lab, we know that it's been debunked that this virus was man-made or modified or anything like that.
A lot of people on the right love that phrase, escape from the lab, because it sounds like something from a Marvel movie or a comic book. Both scientists and the U.S. intelligence community agree that this coronavirus was not man-made. That is not a possibility.
The president is a Russian operative.
This cloud about collusion with Russia will hang over him no matter where he stands.
It does look like he's listening to Putin more than he is American intelligence.
We're about to find out if the new president of our country is going to do what Russia wants. The presidency is effectively a Russian op.
Which is a fancy way of saying the entire media is full of...
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. One thing you can absolutely be sure of is if the Democrats do lose the 2024 election, the first thing they're going to tell you is that it was stolen.
Democrats are so full of crap.
We only know that because they've done it the last three times they've lost an election. Teresa's in Grand Rapids, Michigan. She knows. Teresa.
Hey, hey.
Hey, girl. I'm great. You didn't hear this from me, but I have a date in Detroit in August. It hasn't been announced yet, but it's coming.
Really?
I'll be back in your hood, so we might have to work it out if you're around.
We're working that out.
Let's go.
I got this.
Are you with me on this election claim? Because they're going to say it was stolen if they lose.
Well, you're going to have a lot of sound bites. Especially after this whole Ronna McDaniel thing. There's a lot of rich sound bites going here. But here's my prediction, Jimmy. You ready?
Give it to me.
I think what's going to happen is these Democrats are going to ballot harvest from all those illegal immigrants, get 10 million extra Democrat votes there.
Ooh.
Boom. Cheat, we lose.
Well, listen, I don't know that it'll come to that, but it's definitely not beneath them. And since you made the point, I'm going to play a clip when we come back in the next break about the election in Chicago where the tough on crime candidate was up by 10,000 votes and they just found 10,000 votes and they were like, oh, no, we forgot to we had forgotten to count these. These came in last Saturday. That's a real clip. I will play it in your honor because you triggered something, Teresa. That's the kind of effect you have on me. Now you're programming the show, Boo.
I didn't know I had that kind of power.
You got a lot of heat on this show, girlfriend. We'll talk about it. We'll talk Detroit next time you're on the phone. Have a great weekend if I don't see you. The great
right,
Teresa, there she goes. Get to more of your calls after this. And yes, I will play the affirmation clip, aforementioned clip. We owe it to Teresa. So we'll do it next.
It's America's Life Coach. Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, you bet it is. And as advertised, Teresa called in the last break and had a theory on the Democrats and printing votes and everything in between. And I don't know that we're there. I know people have their suspicions. I know there are irregularities when it comes to the 2020 election. We voted in a completely unprecedented manner. Everybody knows that. I mean, I can't actually prove it was stolen, just so we're all on the same page here. But did we do a lot of fugazi things? Yeah. Do most people trust the legitimacy of the election? No. But we didn't get to have a bipartisan investigation. Okay, I'm not the guy who gets on the air and goes, definitely stolen. I don't have the proof. I don't have the proof. And I don't want to just come out and say something was stolen if I don't have the proof, because that makes me, you know, one of these people, which is not ideal.
I think it's also critical to understand that, as I've been telling candidates who have come to see me, you can run the best campaign, you can even become the nominee, and you can have the election stolen from you.
Oh, whoa, you don't say. That sounds like we're undermining faith in democracy, does it not? But they don't say a word. I mean, how many times, you know, did we hear Adam Schiff on our airwaves telling us that an election was stolen? You know, straight circus clown who was going on TV saying it was stolen, it was stolen, it was stolen. And under oath, he was like, no, I didn't see anything. Clown stuff. Okay, but the reality is we didn't get a bipartisan investigation into elections, which we should have, but they used January 6th as a justification for not doing so. They were like, no, if you look into this, people are just going to storm the Capitol again. Okay, and just to be clear, January 6th was not good. We've been condemning political violence for a long time on this show, though, so that shouldn't come as a shock to you that we'd condemn it. Because we obviously were condemning political violence in the summer of 2020. We were condemning political violence when Trump got inaugurated and they lit the parade route on fire. Do you remember the images of the exploded limousine and the blown out storefronts? Do you remember the summer of 2020 when they had to put Trump into a bunker? Because there were throwing so many bricks and rocks at the Secret Service agents, or, oh, I don't know, maybe in Seattle where they burnt a police station down. If you're listening on KTTH, you probably remember this. Probably remember the pretend country of Chaz that they established in Seattle or in Minneapolis when they were burning down black-owned businesses in the name of progress. It's bananas, but they were doing it. But the point is, if you condemned political violence, yeah, you condemned January 6th just the same. You just didn't sign up for this petition that wants us to believe it was an attempt to overthrow the government. They didn't try to whack the most powerful government in the world with a bunch of unarmed, chunky, middle-aged people. Okay, that's not what it was. It wasn't a deadly white supremacist insurrection, because the only person who died that day was a Trump supporter who got shot by a cop at the Capitol. Okay, not ideal, but I feel for all sides in this instance. Don't want anyone dead. Okay, but we won't have an election integrity commission. So instead, what we'll get is the very next side to lose claiming it was stolen. Trump will say it was rigged because he'll never trust these people again. They've indicted them 91 times. For what? It's garbage. Not going anywhere. He's not going to jail. They just have these trials hanging over him as a way of discrediting his candidacy. I mean, that is what's going on, and it will be hard for him to win. Don't get stuck in a conservative echo chamber where everybody's like, we got him right where we want him. Believe me, Biden has supporters. He does. And they're raising money. They are. And you might not like his policies. I don't. Okay, but it's going to be a much closer election than anybody's willing to tell you. And in a much closer election, if fugazi things happen, people are going to have their doubts about the integrity of the process. Okay, again, when the Democrats lost in 2016, they straight told you it was stolen. Russia stole the election. They're now in charge of our government. They've got Trump compromised.
It was made up by these sick people.
But that was acceptable parlance. You could say it on TV every night for 3 years. And then when the Mueller probe was over and it found no collusion, what did they say? Well, it's because Trump obstructed justice. They would have found the collusion. They just didn't let him get to it. That's what they wanted you to believe happened, because they didn't want to own the fact that they had lied to you and gaslit the public for 3 years. But understand, there are things going on right now that are irregularities, that are concerns. So here is the clip I promised after talking to Teresa. News Nation last night is reporting on the Chicago Cook County election. Okay, to be clear, it's two Democrats on the ballot. One is a tough-on-crime prosecutor that wants to get violent criminals off the street. The other is a traditional Democrat who wants the prisons emptied so you can deal with them on the way to work and school. And here is News Nation reporting on a dramatic turnaround in a race in which one candidate was up by 10,000 votes until they miraculously found some uncounted votes a week later.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Like I said, maybe this is legit. Could be. It actually could be. But we're in a position right now where no one can take this at face value. Here it is, clip 12.
According to the Chicago Tribune, as of last night, take a look at your screen here, former Judge Eileen O'Neill Burke is leading over Clayton Harris III by less than 1%. That's roughly 1,500 votes separating these two candidates out of about 500,000 votes. This is a dramatic change because just after Election Day, O'Neill Burke was 10,000 votes ahead of her opponent. Only to find out that 10,000 mail-in votes were left off over the weekend. We know these ballots are now being accounted for, and the election board admitted to making the mistake. They blamed it on speed over accuracy.
That is totally absurd.
So the election board admits to the mistake. You know, we were in such a rush to count the votes that we didn't count 10,000 of them. I mean,
it really is ludicrous.
So the guy they want in there, as luck would have it, there were 10,000 mail-in votes laying around. They were in such a rush to get them counted, they didn't count them at all. But lo and behold, a lead that was won 10,000, a race that was once a 10,000 vote lead, is now tied. I mean, again, I don't doubt innocent mistakes happen. Okay, I have a son that proves it. Okay, it's an innocent mistake. I kid, Lincoln, we love you. But understand this, okay, nobody, if we get handed one of these at the end of the next election, an election that's going to be decided in swing states by less than 1% of the vote, if somebody a week after the election gets 10,000 votes that we just happened to find, neither side is going to accept that as legitimate, and we're going to have a really big problem. That's why I'm telling you long term, if you want to help this country, someone should be running. RFK would be the right guy to do it, by the way. He should talk about election integrity. He should say, hey, if I'm elected, we're going to have a bipartisan study into election integrity where we're just going to get to the bottom of the last few elections. Okay, we can't use January 6th as a cop-out to not look into it, because if we can't have honest discussions about our democracy, we're not going to have a democracy. If the excuse is going to be, well, some people will get upset and break stuff, so let's just not look into it at all. I mean, where does that leave you in the long run? Okay, it leaves you in a recipe for disaster when it comes to election integrity. Okay, but that's the wildest thing about this moment, is that the fight for power has gotten so crazy and stupid that we're not having an honest conversation about anything. Here's an Andrea Mitchell clip. I love this one. This is over at MSNBC. So Andrea Mitchell, okay, because as you know, Twitter now controlled by Elon Musk, he's permitting free speech. Okay, Andrea Mitchell and people on the left hate the idea that there is a social media app that they don't control. Like, they're not threatened by Truth Social. Truth Social might make Trump money, but it's entirely conservative. It means nothing. There is no coexistence on Truth Social between the two parties. So even though it's valuable, even though it has a lot of conservatives, it doesn't actually have, like, the point-counterpoint thing. Whereas Twitter has a lot of back and forths that end in community notes. It has a lot more cross-pollination. They hate the idea that they don't control that anymore. So they're trying to discredit Elon Musk. Here's Andrea Mitchell telling you she's concerned about his ties to China. You know, this guy does a lot of business in China. You know who else did a lot of business in China? I mean, a ton of business in China. Joe Biden.
Tell him like it is.
Joe Biden and his son took in over $10 million from China. At a time when Biden was the vice president, his son had no formal declared business to speak of other than the fact that he was connecting with people from China and taking tens of millions of dollars from companies with tied to the Chinese Communist Party.
Are you the big man, Joe?
According to three of Hunter Biden's business partners who testified under oath, meaning they go to jail if they're lying, three of them testified under oath that Biden was getting a kickback. He was the brand. So when it comes to ties to China, they have receipts. They have testimony. They have photos of Trump meeting with the business, of Biden meeting with the business partners. They have emails of Biden being thanked by the business partners and things of that matter. Okay, but is Andrea Mitchell bringing that up? Of course not. No, we got to go after this Elon Musk guy because something about Twitter. We can't have a guy who's controlling Twitter and does business in China. Don't get me wrong. We can have a president whose family is making money through 96 different shell companies on behalf of China, you know, hiding the money under the rug. But this guy who's actually just doing business with him, that's the problem. Listen to this clip. It's clip 11.
A New York Times report, but other reporting that we have done on Elon Musk and his relationship with China, obviously Tesla competing now against their cheaper EVs. But he is really dependent on that Chinese market, very tied in with them. He has huge defense contracts. His satellites are the satellites we rely on for so much of our communication. Is it a national security problem and his rockets, of course. Is it a national security problem for our government to have so much reliance on this one entrepreneur?
You don't have a clue.
Okay, and what is she really trying to say? Oh, we got to, you know, divest from Elon Musk. Got to bankrupt him. That'll be the end of Twitter. Maybe force him to sell that bad boy because you can't be in all kinds of business with China. But understand this, okay? You know who else is in all kinds of business with China? Our whole entire economy. In fact, the thing China's making the most money off of right now, other than intellectual property theft, where they're stealing all of our copyrights and our patents and just remaking our goods as their own. So they rip us off to the tune of $1 billion a year on that alone. But the green energy agenda is making China more money than anything because they own 96% of the rare earth minerals that are used to make an electric car. If you're going to go after Elon Musk for pushing all these cars in China, okay, maybe go after our government for mandating that people start buying them. Because that's going to make China a lot more money than anything Elon Musk can produce. He can't produce those cars without the child slave labor in the Congo that's mining for these rare earth minerals. Okay, 96% of those lithium ion batteries, okay, happen because of China. Every time we go with this green agenda, China, who does not adhere to it, they don't follow it, they think it's absurd, okay, makes money. You dig? Like, they laugh at us. China's not doing anything to cut emissions. They open a new coal plant every half hour. It's crazy. They have, like, gender reveals for the foreman. Oh, it's a boy this time. It's a girl. You know, a welcome new coal plant. They don't care. They're not, they don't even pretend the climate matters. Okay? Yet we buy all of our climate infrastructure is manufactured in China. Solar power, so much of it manufactured in China. Do you realize we're trying to quit smoking? So we're buying the patch off a guy who has a cigarette in each hand. You know that viral video of the fat, it was a fat Asian baby who used to smoke cigarettes on YouTube and puff O-rings? Kind of sad, crazy stuff. And me and Lincoln used to laugh at it when he was a kid. Just, you know, baby absurdities are funny, even if they're not in the long run. But there's a part of that that made us laugh. And we don't apologize for it. We're all going to die tomorrow. Well, one of these days, you're going to wish you spent a little more time laughing the day. Okay, that's just the way life works. But understand, okay, the things we're doing when it comes to, oh, I'm worried about China. Are you worried about China? Are you really worried about China? Because if you're really, truly concerned about China, like this, you can't support the Bidens in any way, shape, or form. And you can't get behind any one of these giant corporations that's selling us all these social initiatives while looking the other way on the human rights abuses in China. Do you know the UN Human Rights Council labeled China guilty of crimes against humanity? Like, there's a board game, Cards Against Humanity, crimes against humanity for what they're doing with Uyghur Muslims in the Hubei province of China, okay? In this day and age, okay, all of the things that America and other countries were doing in the name of, you know, slave labor and industrialized slavery back in the 1700s, 1800s. I mean, we fought a war where 500,000 white people died to end slavery. We as a country were committed to not letting it happen. Less than 2% of the American population owned slaves. I'm not saying the 1% should get a free pass, but the idea that, you know, a couple hundred years later, we should hold the whole country hostage while turning a blind eye towards the fact that real slavery exists to subsidize just about every one of these agendas that we prioritize on the left. Certainly when it comes to cheap labor over in China, certainly when it comes to green energy all over China and around the globe, okay, all of those abuses are taking place in real time. And the way we avoid talking about them is by ripping down statues of people who died 200 years ago. Okay, that's why in a lot of ways I like to tell you we're fighting the wrong battles, because we are. Okay, there's no deliverable for anything they're running on. Ah, we got the statue out of the park. All right, well, I mean, you're still going to get mugged. But when you report it to the police, you're not going to say it was near the statue. You're now going to say it was near the birdbath. It was, you know, there was a monument there to two-spirit owls. They were, you know, transgender owls in this park. We built a monument to the, you know, that's what they're doing now. Okay, we're changing society in ways that are not activist, they're slacktivist. When you get rid of the Washington Redskins logo, it doesn't improve the quality of life for Native Americans, most of whom call themselves Indians, by the way. Okay, I interviewed the tribe that donated the Washington Redskins logo to the NFL as a forever gift in the 1970s because they wanted that representation on the side of the helmet. It was when woke white people showed up and decided they could get likes on social media for saying they were fixing the halftime show. But did it improve the quality of life for anybody, anybody at all? No. I say this all the time. Cancel culture, the only movement where the biggest winners are a bunch of losers.
That's true. That is true.
A show so good, it's frightening.
I got scared. I dropped my hot pocket.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Fallon.
Oh, girl, we are in the bottom of the ninth on Fox Across America with your radio buddy. Tomorrow night, you want to see me in person, you head to the Helena Civic Center in Helena, Montana. Saturday night, the Fox Theater in Spokane, Washington. We might even be pre-taping Fox News Saturday night while we're out there so you guys can see it. So the TV people get a little something-something. The comedy fans get a little something-something. I'm looking out for you people. Somebody's gotta, because the world's on fire. It's the dumbest time there's ever been to be alive. But you know what we're happy for, and this does matter? Baseball's back today. Opening day for my Yankees at 4:05. Lincoln's fired up. He's off from school right now. I'm thrilled. I don't know where you live around the country, but the day-to-day momentum of baseball, and perhaps even more importantly, a sign that spring is possible. Like, it's coming. And we're really excited about that. I love some warm weather. I've been freezing my tuchus off all over the globe this winter. I'm excited for some warm weather. Although as a New Yorker, it kind of sucks because when things warm up, you can smell the city again. Oh, not tonight. The city is going to smell like money. They're doing a $25 million fundraiser across the street from Fox News. It is Obama. It is Bill Clinton. It is Joe Biden. So $100,000 ahead because the Democrats want you to believe they're the party of the little guy.
You are so full of sh**.
Yeah, you know. So if the PTA meeting is empty tonight, it's because, you know, the little guy bought a $100,000 ahead ticket to Radio City. If your bowling league is empty, you know, if your buddies aren't at the bar watching an opening day of Major League Baseball, it's because, you know, the little guy went out and bought one of those $100,000 tickets to go to Radio City. We're living in the death of shame. We'll talk about it at great length this Saturday on Fox News Saturday Night. You better be there. Enjoy your night. Party's over. Pay up and get out.
Listen to the all-new Brett Baer podcast featuring Common Ground, in-depth talks with lawmakers from opposite sides of the aisle, along with all your Brett Baer favorites like his all-star panel and much more. Available now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.